on ABC Radio.
This is The Big Fish
with Scott Levi.
Good morning. Welcome aboard on The Big Fish this morning, the monster bull sharks of Sydney Harbour. But our first cast, the fishing school. We're off to Chris Franklin's school, where fishing has brought mums, dads and kids together. Coming up on The Big Fish. You may remember back in November, we had Fishvember with Chris Franklin from the little Catholic school at Kincumber. And Chris was telling us how fishing had really created a wonderful bond and brought the school community together. And they've been doing wonderful things since Fishvember. Chris Franklin, welcome back to The Big Fish.
Thanks, Scotty. Good morning to you.
And these Holy Cross kids, they've got the fishing bug by the sound of it.
Big time. Not just the kids, the adults. I think the adults are worse than kids, Scotty.
Yeah, tell us about some of the things that have happened since Fishvember, and we'll talk about our kingfish mission on the weekend too. That was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, I had a great time on the weekend. And so since Fishvember, the parents enjoyed it so much. But one of the things was they said it was just happening once a year. And they enjoyed it so much, but a lot of them didn't get out again after that. So they asked if we get a little fishing club together at school, which has now happened. So we've got a little Holy Cross fishing club. Families are running it, basically. So it's run by the adults, by the mums and dads, and the kids are getting involved as well.
And how does it operate? What's the structure?
Well, at this stage, it's still coming together. It's brand new. It just started this term. But we had a meeting and formed a committee up and thought about what we would have. And we decided once per term, we're going to have an information session and we'll target it at something specific. And then we'll have a little fishing competition on a weekend after that so that they can practice what they've learned. So for this term, we decided brim, flathead and whiting because they're everywhere at the moment. And we talked about the rigs for them, the baits for them, and places to go and get them. And just over the Easter weekend, we set a little competition. Kids and families went out and caught brim flathead whiting, measured them, and got a point per centimetre. It didn't matter if it was undersized or oversized. They still recorded points. And that's sort of where we are at the moment.
That's a great idea, isn't it? So it's sort of nose to tail length. The little ones go, and I know you encourage the use of circle hooks. So the smaller fish are so easy to let go. Circle hooks are an absolute revelation, aren't they, for catch and release?
100%, Scotty. The fish I get on them, it's probably one in about 50 that I might get that's deep hooked, and the rest of them are all lip hooked. So it's a much better way to do it, and especially for the kids who are catching, you know, a lot of undersized fish, they can let them go again without any harm.
Isn't that great? So the Holy Cross Fishing Club was born out of this, and the photo board will be back in Fishvember, I guess. People can put up their catches.
For sure. And in the meantime, they've started up a Facebook page. So they've got their own Facebook group now for the fishing club. And parents and kids are going on there posting their catches, not just to the comp weekend, but anything they're getting in between. But I think probably the greatest thing to come out of it is on that page, they're posting things like, we're going to this venue at this time. Who wants to join us? And we've got families now meeting up and going fishing together that possibly didn't even know each other before the fishing club. So they're loving it.
There's so many great land-based options around Brisbane Water where you live. So many good jetties, so many good wharves, lots and lots of access. Good fishing from them too. And so many whiting, flathead and brim around, as you say at the moment. Tell them about that brim that we saw off the boat ramp in Brisbane Water when we were coming back. It was waiting for a few scraps from the cleaning table, but that was a wall hanger.
For sure. That's the biggest brim I think I've seen in many years. I don't know I've seen one bigger. And it was just cruising around directly under the boat at the boat ramp, and we're probably talking, what you reckon, Scott, a metre of water at best.
Oh, yeah, so I'd say huge. It was 4 pound.
Yeah, it would have been close to that, I think.
What's that, two kilos?
Yeah, around about the 2 kilos, probably just shy or just on 2 kilos. But it was a big fish. It was back through the shoulders as well, so it was carrying plenty of condition.
Yeah, they're in good nick at the moment too, aren't they, the brim? So wonderful things happening there. And what are some of the questions that come out of the kids, you know, the ones who are new to fishing? What are some of the things that they really want to know about?
They want to know what the baits are and how to use them. And that's one of the things we went through, how to bait a hook and present a bait well. And they want to know what rigs to use. And apart from that, the biggest question probably is, where do I go and get them? And we put them onto a few jetties, as you say. And they're getting plenty. There was plenty of legal-sized fish sent in on the weekend. So they're getting out there and they're finding the right spots and they're having success.
What about the camaraderie of it to them? Because I think the secret to success in getting your kids into any activities is making sure they're surrounded by their friends. If your kids want to play sport, having a team full of kids that they get on with, having that camaraderie is more important, I think, sometimes than the sport.
I think you're right. This is a social relationship that builds when you're there. It's not about catching the fish. It's about the time you have together with your mates while you're there, and for the adults too, who, you know, they're making friends while they're there and enjoying time with their kids out as well. So it's all good, and they're saying, you know, they're pleased that one of the young fellas got up on Monday morning and said to his dad, "When are we going fishing today?" And they hadn't planned it, but they went anyway. So it's creating that interaction, getting out, even just for an hour, but having some good quality time with their kids.
We had a wonderful morning, speaking of going out and fishing. We had a wonderful, wonderful morning off the northern beaches of Sydney. Sunday morning, bright and early, we went out at first light. Seas were beautiful. The conditions were magnificent. The sun was shining. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. The water was crystal clear and warm. And what was it full of, Chris?
It was absolutely chock-a-block full of kingfish on the weekend, Scotty.
It was. They were in plague proportions.
They were everywhere. There's a lot of rats, and by rats I mean only just rats. They were 60 to 65. But I tell you what, they can pull pretty good too. But in amongst them, we got some good ones, and you pulled an absolute cracker out on the weekend.
Well, that fish was amazing. You know, they pull so hard. You had me set up with a nice little game reel, and I had 50-pound braid with an 80-pound leader, and I took a wrap on the braid, put my shirt sleeve over my hand so it wouldn't cut my hand, and pulled as hard as I could until I could just barely get a bit coming off. That fish took 60 metres in the first run of that drag setting without trouble. I mean, I'm not the strongest guy in the world, but that was pretty impressive.
That was pretty heavily set, and I remember you thought that I had a garrot in loosing your drag behind your back. It was simply a kingfish picking up a live bait on the fly, and he just went like a rocket.
I did do that, didn't I?
Didn't get wrecked. I
said, did you loosen my drag?
You thought I had a go at you. I don't think you thought a fish could pull that hard, and this thing just took off. And fortunately, it ran towards the surface, not towards the bottom. And you got it in at 83 centimetres, if I remember rightly. So that's a damn good fish.
Really fat, too. I'll stick a photo of it up on our blog sites around Australia and also on the audio on demand that people can get at the ABC Radio website. Chris Franklin's our guest. Chris, this is something you really enjoy doing, catching the kingfish on live bait too. And the secret, I think one of the secrets for first-timers at this, and the water was so clear you could really see it, every time you hooked a kingfish, it had at least another 20 fish sitting with them. And then you simply drop down another live bait and bang.
That's right. And they followed us along too. We drifted for a bit where we had one over the side, and the whole school just came with us and followed us. So they're a very inquisitive fish, and we saw one that kept coming up and rubbing a fish on the hook trying to get what was in its mouth. So it had no concern about the boat or us. It was just focused on the other fish.
It's great fun just watching them in the water, isn't it? We had a lovely day, and to think, and look, we actually had this secret spot to ourselves, really. You know, we had one other boat, I think. They were fly fishing. They hooked up with one not on the fly. They're a bit tough to take on the fly. I've still got to do a bit of work on that. Got to work on the patterns because they weren't having any of what I was presenting. I did speak to one veteran of fly fishing for them. He said what you were doing was right. They were interested in the fly, but he said, in my experience, when they get interested, just let it drop. Just let it pause and just let it sink down, and eventually one will suck it in. So that might have been something I should have tried. I was a little bit too vigorous with the retrieve, but we had them interested, didn't we?
It was a lot of fun, and just watching them was great. Watching them around that fly at the back of the boat and seeing how they react. And you know what? Leave something for next time we go back, Scotty. Can't do it all in one trip.
No, we let plenty of good fish go. They were just, we let a couple under, just under legal size go, so they'll be 66 centimetres next time we go out. Chris Franklin, thanks so much for talking to us again on The Big Fish. Well done with bringing fishing to your school, and more teachers should do it, actually. If they want to contact you at Holy Cross Kingcumber, I'm sure you'd give them the template for bringing a school community together through fishing.
For sure. It's been a success for us, and I'd love to see others doing it, and I just see the benefit that's come from it. So anyone who wants to give me a call, contact the school, and I'll get back to you.
Tight lines, Chris. Thanks for talking to us again on The Big Fish.
Cheers, Scotty.
This is The Big Fish with Scott Levi on ABC Radio.
Now, you may wonder why Rob Paxavanis hasn't been on The Big Fish for a while. Well, he's been fishing. And I'm happy for you to do it. I say to all of our correspondents, I say, listen, when you're not answering the phone, I'm happy because you're fishing, and that gives us something to talk about.
Absolutely, mate. It's the best sport in the world, and it's, if you're not out there enjoying it, well, it's no good for anyone, is it?
And you've had some adventures, I believe, since last time we chatted.
I have indeed, mate. I've been fishing, filming on the Illawarra for the new series, and we've just had magic weather. I just finished 4 or 5 days filming, and it just, I've filmed on the Illawarra many times over the years, but we just had absolutely outstanding weather, and the fishing's been great, and I'm chuffed, you know, fishing with new people, and we started with some easy stuff, going for bonito and smaller size kingfish and salmon spinning around the wash in the boats around Bass Point, and those pocket rocket pelagics are on. But Lake Illawarra,
there's nothing bad about that. Is as good as it gets, in my opinion.
The light tackle sport fish like that are just great fun. They're reliable. You know, you can cast anything from metal lures to bigger minnows and poppers and all sorts of gear at them, and they're, you'll catch them. It's good fun.
And I just think we're just starting to realise how tasty bonito are. I think a lot of people know that, but a lot of people use them for bait, let me tell you.
They are good fresh. You know,
I'd rather have baited breath with bonito. Terrific sashimi, a bit of pickled ginger. Mind you, I think pickled ginger is the secret to sashimi because everything tastes good with pickled ginger.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And you're right, you know, the bonito are fantastic eating, and it's just, there was quite a few people, different nationalities, enjoying catching them and taking them for the table. And it's good, you know, it's done sustainably, and which it was.
Oh,
and
yeah. And
there's
big ones in the run this year too. There's some good ones, aren't there?
Oh yeah, you know, amongst your sort of usual, models around that sort of, around that 40 to 45, 50 kilo sort of size mark. There's been some
50 centimetres, you mean?
Yeah, there's been some, what did I say?
Kilos.
Oh, did I? Sorry.
Imagine a 50 kilo bonito, pull your arms off.
Sorry, 45 to 50 centimetre bonito, which are around the kilo mark. There's been some 4 or 5 kilo ones amongst them, you know, and they go really well.
A slab of that will feed a family for a week. Don't worry about that. And it's beautiful, sliced thinly for sashimi, and so easy to clean, aren't they? I mean, just the tuna species, you can see why the sushi chefs love them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely they are. And the secret's to get them on ice quickly and keep them nice and cool. And that not only preserves the flesh, but it also, when they're frosty cool, they're easier to fillet, you know. When they're soft, it's no
Oh, exactly, so, yeah. So get them on this ice slurry.
You know, I did enjoy most, though. I've got to say, we fished Lake Illawarra for Flathead with the guys from the Complete Angler there. They helped out. And I've got to say, the Flathead fishing was good. We fished it on a nice high tide. It was blue water over the sand flat there. It was great fishing for a lake that gets bagged out sometimes for being commercially fished. I was surprised how good the Flathead fishing was. But one of my favourite things, Scotty, and I think you'd agree, we went down to the beach on a beautiful day. We cast some beach worms around and caught those beautiful sand whiting, which are averaging about 32 centimetres at the moment, and some as big as 40. So, you know, look at the variety we found, and standing on that beach on a day like that and reeling in those whiting, I've got to say, you know, it's not necessarily about the size of the fight of the fish. Just having fun in a beautiful environment and getting your toes wet got to be one of the simple pleasures, doesn't it?
And it's one of the great Aussie traditions, you know, go down to the beach, catch some beach worms, and the worms are the secret for those stonking big whiting in the gutters off the beaches. It really is fantastic fun. And just pulling those big beach worms out and then putting a piece on and catching a 30, 40 centimetre whiting, it doesn't get much better, and you won't eat a better fish. Did you get onto the marlin run off the south coast too?
No, plenty of locals asked me about that. It was funny. We kept leaving fish biting. We left the bonito biting to do the flathead in the lake. We left them biting to go and do the whiting.
Whiting off the beach,
we didn't get time to go and do the marlin. But I'm actually I've got some fun news for listeners. I'm hoping to do some marlin fishing next weekend. I'm heading down to the South Coast Mighty Bonanza Fishing Competition, which the Yirrabadella Fishing Association guys run, and that's a big event for the South Coast. So I'm looking forward to going to that, and hopefully go and catch a few marlin that weekend if the weather's as good as it is this week. We've got a week of good weather coming up this weekend, spectacular down here, and another week of it coming. So I'm hoping to catch a few marlin in the mix. There's so many fish, so little time, Scotty. But I'm actually hoping to head south again to go to Googong. They've got a wonderful family fishing day on next Saturday. And what I'm going to do, and we could catch up on this, Scotty, I'm going to check out the amazing redfin run in Googong itself, because the guys with the Sounders now, and I've fished there for 20, 30 years, the guys with the Sounders, we're going from catching, you know, a dozen redfin to now catching as many as you like. I'm going to be fishing with a younger fella called Roman Dukowski, who's nutted out how to sound them, and quite literally catching, you know, 50 to 100 redfin in a session, all sort of 30 centimetres and up, and some are 45. And we're talking about big redfin, so I've sort of got my head wrapped around that at the moment, Scotty.
That's your old stomping ground too, isn't it, Googong?
Yes. I used to teach, trout, fly fishing for trout when they had trout there, and native fishing as well.
And of course, Googong was open to the public thanks to the hard work of one of our great regulars on the Big Fish, Snapper, who's been a little ill of late, so we wish him all the best. But he's on the mend, if people wanted to know. He had a bit of a nasty turn, but he's fighting back, so it's good to hear. But that was a great effort in using a water supply dam and having fisher folk able to use it, of course, within parameters, no boats with motors and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's awesome to, you know, it's become a model for so many other fisheries around Australia, and it's got to be, it has to be going 35 years now, but it's really nice to go to a lake where, you know, it's just human-powered or electric-powered craft, and you know that it's going to be quiet, and, you know, you're not going to have people sort of camp right on your spots when you get around, and it's an opportunity for kayakers and people with small tinnies and electrics to make use of a waterway and get to good fishing without being outcompeted by, you know, $50,000 boats. You know, there's places for that where you can race across a lake and get to the good spots, but, you know, being a water supply and keeping it pristine, it's a model that's worked really, really well. As much as some people would love to throw their bass boat on there, and we put bigger electric powered boats on there, and we had permits to do that, and we do that regularly. But it's a beautiful place for people fishing out of kayaks, stand up paddle boards, and, you know,
not good to hear about the numbers of redfin though. I hope you can make a dent in those.
Well, we do, and they're beautiful table fish.
They're lovely to eat, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they've got the Googong Fishing Fair on Saturday. They've got some of the best chefs coming to cook and to cook up a storm for us. And they've always been there in vast numbers. It's just that now you can locate them on the school. You know, the really interesting thing is the schools we used to see midwater, they actually appear on the Sounder just as little bumps. And you find a few of these little bumps on the bottom. And I might be able to get you some pictures next week of it, Scotty. But you find them, and they're actually big redfin.
You don't mind sharing that secret, do you? Because the more you catch, the better the native fish goes. Although the cod would eat them, I'd reckon.
Oh, there's no shortage of food in there for the cod. So you're right. Take as many redfin as you can. I mean, what a wonderful fishing scenario. Plenty of fish, no bag limit. You know, a beautiful lake. It go out and smash redfin, and it's growing in popularity. It really is a sleeping giant for people in Canberra and inland New South Wales to be able to get onto these redfin, because we all prefer to let the big golden perch and the giant Murray cod go, and if
but we want to catch a feed as well. So the redfin are the ticket to that. It's absolutely magic fishing.
Well, well look, I hate to say it, but they're better eating than the yellow belly and the cod by a million miles.
They are. They're a first class table fish. They are a wonderful table fish. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to quite literally to getting my teeth.
Do you ever hook into a big yellow belly while targeting the redfin?
You do. You'll see on the sound of the bigger shapes and sometimes cod as well. But it's remarkable that, due credit to Roman Dukowski for this, it's remarkable that just these tiny little bumps that you see on the bottom in, you know, 30, 40 feet of water, and you drop down onto them and bang, you catch one, but for some reason you then go on to catch 20 or 30, you know. So it's not this vast school that you see like when you're bass fishing or redfin in other impoundments. These guys just sit on the bottom for some reason a lot of the time.
Geez, worked out the riddle, and good on him for sharing the technique, because people can take advantage of that. And as you say, get a lovely feed of fresh fish in Canberra without going to the coast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Excellent, mate. Oh, well, gee, you're up to some good stuff. Thanks for sharing it with us. You had a great time in the Illawarra. Then we'll see that down the track. I guess with TV, it takes a while for these things to turn around.
Yeah, it'll be on in a month or two. We'll launch a new series. We'll let you know about that in a couple of weeks.
Not like this instant medium we call radio.
Sometimes it takes a little while to do the job right.
I know, Patsy. It's a bit more professional than this gig. We just make it up as we go along. Hey, great to talk to you again, Rob. I have missed you, but it sounds like you've had a fabulous time on the Illawarra. We'll catch you next time on The Big Fish.
Yeah, my pleasure, Scotty. Thanks.
On ABC Radio, it's The Big Fish with Scott Levi.
Coming up, the monster bull sharks of Middle Harbour. Ooh, gives you the chills, particularly if you sail a small boat or like water skiing. It's almost like trolling for them. Also, Stinker talks about the mullet putting their feet on the brakes. They had feet, their fins on the brakes. Julie Ray's back with a kingfish recipe. And Craig McGill with the Sydney Report. All coming up on The Big Fish. Little song called The Lost River. Coming up on The Big Fish, Stinker talks Taylor and also mullet, the mullet run, the foots on the brake or the fins on the brake, according to Stinker. We'll find out why. And the big bull sharks, the huge bull sharks that have invaded Sydney Harbour. Maybe they're always there, but Craig McGill has a story that'll send shivers down your spine, particularly if you like sailing around Middle Harbour or maybe water skiing. I tell you what, I'd get back up pretty quickly if I capsized my little laser or something. We'll bring you that story. And Julie Ray, one of the great chefs from the Sydney Fish Markets, has a terrific kingfish recipe. The kingies are really on in great numbers at the moment, as you've heard on the program. Stinker coming up next.
The Big Fish on ABC Radio.
Here comes Stinker with his fishing tips. Some hot advice for your fishing trip. Where to find them? What's the bait?
Are you catching any, mate?
Morning, Stinker.
Hey, g'day, Scott. How are you going today?
Good. Lot to talk about this morning. We're going to talk tailor, not turkey, and the mullet have put the brakes on.
I have.
Also a very loyal listener who you found out about.
Look, yes, and it's great. I encourage our listeners to always send me an email if they wish. I get quite a few, and it's so encouraging to know that there are people out there who really do enjoy our program, and you can send me an email, stinkerfishing@yahoo.com, anytime you wish. But I would like to wish a listener who has never, ever missed our program. It's his 70th birthday today. So happy birthday to Brad Horsnell, who I know will be listening again this morning. But it's nice to know, isn't it, Scott, that we've got such a tremendous listening audience.
I'd like to know how many listeners never wet a line.
A lot. I mean, the people who contact me, or many of the people who contact me, have never been fishing. They say they like the stories and they like the entertainment.
It's a bit of an excuse to get out into the great outdoors, isn't it, really?
But as far as going fishing is concerned, that's out of the question. They're not going fishing. I think it's great.
What's happened to the mullet, Stinker? They've put the brakes on, you're saying.
They have. I mean, here in Fingal Bay, you may remember last year that we had the greatest gathering of mullet that I've seen, probably ever. And, of course, the sharks all turned up and it was on YouTube and every other turnout that they had, photographs on the news and everything else. But the reason that they stayed in Fingal and didn't move is because the weather didn't change. Now, exactly the same thing is happening now, but they haven't arrived. The mullet have come out of Lake Macquarie and out of the Hunter River. They've come onto Stockton Beach, but they're not moving. And what we need is a big, strong weather change, preferably a strong westerly wind, the sea to move, and when that all happens, that's when the mullet move. But until there is a change in the weather pattern, they're not going anywhere. They're just happy to stay where they are. But that also encourages sharks to arrive because they're not moving all the time. The sharks know exactly where they are. It always generates great interest in Port Stephens when the mullet are on the move because it fires the whole community up. Then, of course, what can also happen, Scott, is you can get a really big sea, like I'm talking about a 3-metre-plus sea, and that drives the mullet wide. So they don't go along the beaches for obvious reasons. They get pounded. So they'll go way out to sea, and they won't come onto the beaches until that sea drops. So they could very well miss Fingal altogether. And if that sea occurred, which I don't think it probably will, but if that did happen, that's what the result would be. And then people say, those that don't know what goes on with these fish, they'll say, oh, look, we told you the fish aren't around, they've been over-exploited, over-harvested, everything else. No, that's not the answer. The answer is that they've swum wide of the beaches and they'll probably come in at Foster or Port Macquarie further up the coast. It's the same old process has been going on for as long as records have been kept.
What about the predatory fish? I mean, they love it, don't they, when they come, the big jewfish, the sharks. Do the tailor get into them too?
No, not so much, because they're about the same size.
Yeah,
you know?
It'd be a bit hard, yes.
Yeah, I reckon a 2-kilo tailor taking on a 2-kilo mullet, I mean, I don't know what would go on there. But tailor are on the move.
But yeah, often the other fish move under the mullet. The brim move under the mullet.
Brim will. Yeah. Brim certainly will. And they're called ground fish by the commercial fishers, and they will follow, and they're the most beautiful brim. I'm not a real brim fan, you know. Estuary brim don't excite me greatly, but brim off the beach are just beautiful. They've got that big, broad shoulders, and they're snowy white and bright-eyed, and they're beautiful in the pan. In the kitchen, a brim, a big, well-conditioned brim off the beach in the kitchen, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But tailor are fascinating. I've always loved tailor. Coming from the far north coast, tailor was big, so much fun. When you see them, you'd stand up on the headlands and you'd see them coming chopping along the coast. I don't know whether you see that so much these days, but as a kid, it was just so exciting. And you'd fish off the beach for them with garfish then. You'd use garfish for bait, 3 5-0 hooks in a gang with garfish, and you'd hoik it out into the what we'd call gutters along the beach. And, oh, gee, it was absolutely so much, so exciting. But I'll tell you what not to do. Never kiss a tailor, because they've got a very bad attitude. And the first thing they do, if you go anywhere near them, they'll bite you right on the lip. And then you have all sorts of trouble getting them to get off your lip.
That would have been a very good episode of Rex Hunt.
Oh, God, yeah. There are certain fish that you don't kiss. And tailor is one. And another one is a leatherjacket. Now, leatherjacket crunch their teeth. And so it's very interesting to hear the noise that they make. So what you do is put it up to your ear, and what happens? They bite you on the ear. So if you've got a leather jacket in your left hand and a tailor in the right hand, and you're kissing one and listening to the other, there's a big chance you're going to have two fish hanging off your head. It's not much fun, I can tell you.
Not good at all. The only people who like tailor teeth are those people who make lures and soft plastics. They reckon they're the greatest thing ever, because they keep the tackle shops going, don't they? With
yes. I mean, and this is it. You get some. We all use what was called a spinner, a silver spinner, which is hard, and you'd hoik it. You could throw it forever, you know. Do you know what I mean? Those whole silver spinners. And then you had to wind like crazy with the old Alvy reel. You'd put the tip of the rod on the surface and you'd wind as fast as you could. And then, bang, a tailor would hit it. And, oh, gee, like I meant to smoke them or to put them on the barbie. I reckon they're magnificent fish.
They're always moist. They're very moorish. Yeah. You know, some fish is dry, but you can never, you've got to cook it pretty hard to make a tailor dry. And they're lovely. And they're those good omega-3s too. They're the really good fatty acids that we need for a good brain. That's why you're so clever, Stinker.
Oh, I've often wondered that.
Hey, tight lines, mate.
Hey,
let us know when those mullet find the accelerator again.
Yeah, well, wait for the weather change and they'll be on the move.
A most progressive fishmonger has moved into our street. His name is Harry Mullet. The kids think it's a treat to stand outside his shop and hear him shout at passers-by,
"There's romance in me fishing chips, so won't you come and try some?
Fish and chips in an old newspaper, eating with the one that you adore. Two hands linger, dipping in the vapor, who could ask for more? Give away those soda fountains, pass right by their doors. You'll find fish and chips more fun than staring over two old straws. Fish and chips in an old newspaper, eating with the one that you adore. Two hands linger, dipping in the paper, who could ask for more?
Hey, Harry, have you ever been fishing?
Yes, I once caught a 200-pound tuna, but I had to throw it back.
Throw it back? Why did you throw back a 200-pound tuna?
Because it was a piano tuna.
Fish and chips in an old newspaper, eating with the one that you adore. Two hands linger, dipping in the paper, who could ask for more?
Hey, where's me iron ill?
Right over here.
Oh, well, keep chopping away at them chips. Keep chopping, I say.
Why should I keep chopping?
Because there's only a few more chopping days to Christmas.
Fish and chips in an old newspaper, eating with the one that you adore. Two hands linger, dipping in the paper, who could ask for more?
Hey, my old man was in the wholesale fish business.
Go on, how did he get on?
I don't know, we could never get close enough to him to ask him.
Fish and chips in an old newspaper, eating with the one that you adore. Two hands linger, dipping in the paper, who could ask for more?
Hey, you kids, go on, get out of the shop, go on, hop it.
Harry, that's not very kind, chasing those little children out of the shop. After all, they didn't write your material.
I know, but they spilt tomato sauce on me tablecloth, and I haven't read it yet.
Fish and chips in an old newspaper, eat them with the one that you adore. Two hands linger, dipping in the paper, who could ask for more? Give away those soda fountains, pass right by their doors. You'll find fish and chips more fun than staring over two old straws. Oh, fish and chips in an old newspaper, eat them with the one that you adore. Two hands linger, dipping in the paper, who could ask for more?
Good old Horry Dargy, ABC Radio, the big fish, Scott Levi with you. Great to have your company. I hope our next guest didn't take offence at some of those lyrics, the one about the wholesale fishmonger, and couldn't get close enough to him. Julie Ray, of course, one of the great chefs at the Sydney Fish Markets and a great fish cook. I think we'll get something a little bit more sophisticated than fish and chips in the old newspaper.
So if you happen to be just passing by, stop in at the Saturday Night Fish Fry. It was rocking. It was rocking. You never see such scuffling and shuffling till the break of dawn. It was rocking. It was rocking.
Julie Ray, hey, 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 it's Saturday.
Oh, gosh, I can't stop smiling. It was so entertaining. I love listening.
Horry Dargy, fish and chips. Oh, dear, I do. Oh. You don't. I mean, that was a bit, you know, unkind about the fishmonger and no one being able to get near him.
You've got to have a thick skin. Most people in the fishing world do have thick skin.
You smell lovely, particularly to the cats of the neighbourhood. I know they're all around your door constantly.
I know, coming home from the fish market, at times my husband asked me to use the back door. Are you trying to tell me something? I don't know.
Hey, one thing that you've got to say about this program, it's about kitchen fishing a lot of the time, and many of our fisher folk, like Stinker, like Bushy, they really do fish for a feed, and they're very, you know, sustainable fishers. They only take enough for a feed. But Bushy was saying if you catch a big kingfish particularly, you can't eat it all. They're too big. And
no.
I went in to get some bananas the other day at one of those supermarket that sells stuff. I won't mention the name. It's, you know, the big German.
The
ABC. Yeah, the big German supermarket place. And I went to get some bananas and came away with a cryovac machine.
I know. I do that all the time. Walk into one of those stores and walk out a handful of other stuff.
And I'd always wanted one because Bushy's methods are fantastic and everything he says is so true. He said, as soon as you catch a kingfish, you bleed it, you put it on ice and on an ice slurry, actually. You put the ice with the seawater so it's even colder than regular ice. And then you fillet it up, skin it, take the red out, and then cut it into sashimi-sized blocks, you know, small blocks, take all the middle bones out, then cryovac them straight away, straight into the freezer, snap freeze it. And he said that's the only way to eat frozen fish. And he even reckoned that the Japanese will do that before they eat it as sashimi because it firms it up. And I thought that was amazing. And so I've got a freezer full of cryovac kingfish. What can I do with it?
Very jealous. Well, first of all, for feeding me, but you can't feed me right at this stage. Well, you know, you've got them in a bag. Of course, you've got that cryovac machine, which you can get today. They're not expensive.
Oh, it's about $59 or something.
Yeah, yes. Look, it's not expensive, but you don't even have to. You can actually sous vide it. I mean, it sounds like, you know, it's basically cooking in the bag. And all you need to do, if you don't have a sous vide machine, you can actually just get those Ziploc bags and do it. Just make sure that all the air, the whole thing about those sous vide is it's got to make sure all the air is out of the bag.
Well, I wouldn't need to rebag it, would I? It's
well,
ready to
no,
go.
You wouldn't, but I do. Normally when you do sous vide, you would actually add a splash of olive oil
to
it.
Get it out, thaw it out, and rebag it.
And it's good, just put a splash of olive oil in there and some herbs. You've got herbs in the garden. And then reseal it. And then all you need to do is you don't have to have a whiz-bang machine to actually cook it in. So it's a cooking in a water bath, basically. But so you just get a pot and you need a thermometer. You do need to get a thermometer, a cooking thermometer to check. So for, say, fish, you'd need about a 60 degrees.
It's a very gentle form of
fishing,
isn't it?
Very gentle, very slow. And so depending on, say, it's a 150-gram portion, Usually that's a serving portion. It's about 10 to 12 minutes. Now, I just advise people who are going to try it, you just need to experiment. You know, you might do it and go, oh, actually, that could, you know, I'd rather you undercook it because you can always put it back in the bath.
Yeah, right, right.
Then overcook it.
It's got to stay moist, hasn't it? Because it's there's nowhere for the juices to escape to.
That's right. And this is what, but you can overcook it if you cook it for long. I mean, if you did it, you know, say for, if you did it with chicken or with beef, I mean, you cook it for a lot longer, but fish doesn't need long. And if you really want it, if you've got skin on there, and if you really want it to have a crispy skin, you can even take it out of the bag and flash it in the to get the skin in the pan.
Flash fry it, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, if you want to have that crispy skin.
Skin side only, of course.
That's right, yeah. Skin side only, it's cooked, but you make sure you even cook it a couple of minutes less. But as I said, it's just something that I would rather you undercook it. Make sure that temperature stays the same. If it starts getting too higher,
what did you say? 60 degrees.
60 degrees. So that's usually for salmon. I haven't done a kingfish. I've done it with salmon, but it's usually the same thickness. So I'm talking belly.
The big problem with kingfish is overcooking. Once it goes dry, it's horrible. Far better to undercook, particularly if you know if it's super fresh like this.
So
stuff.
I would literally go over the guide. I would start a couple minutes under. You know, and then just have, and because you know you've got your bag, you can rebag it or you can redo it.
It'd be very moist and soft, wouldn't it?
It doesn't dry out. It's so beautiful. It's a melt in the mouth, and so you know you can see the difference with salmon. Say, you know, sometimes you put salmon in the oven and you cook it. You know, it actually can bloom. Where this actually holds its colour, it goes deeper and it doesn't go that white bloomy colour. It really holds it. So the same thing with fish. You won't get that white. You know, there's sometimes you can get over it. If you cook something in a bag in the oven, they can get sort of a bit of a bloom colour around it.
I know what you're saying. Okay, so, and that's one way to do it in the bag. Yeah.
If you got the bag, but as I said, you don't have to have your Cryovac machine. You can just get in a Ziploc bag. But make sure before you do it is put that Ziploc bag with the fish into your water, and just have the water coming up underneath the opening of that bag and let all the air come out. That's a good way to get all the air out. And then make sure it's sealed. It won't work unless if you've got air in there. So you've got to make sure all that air's out.
That's a tip, yeah. And would you'd have to serve that with a nice sauce of some sort, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, you could serve it with, something like that. I really love just a lovely little vinaigrette to go with that to be nice and delicate. Depends what you're going to look. You can get some. Have to have potatoes in my house. We've got to have potatoes anyway. You do it. So I usually like to have a nice little vinaigrette to go on the top. Or, you know, what about doing your gorgeous little mayonnaise with some bit of Tabasco, a bit of lime juice. You want to go that way, or you know, make it with a bit of wasabi. Mix through.
Oh, that'd be very nice.
That'd be easy, quick. We're talking quick and easy is what we want.
A little salsa or something?
Oh, look, salsa's really gorgeous. I mean, if you've got some herbs in your garden too, just make up even a salsa verde. Some, get some parsley, some coriander, some anchovies, some capers, some lemon juice, some olives. Bang, zip that up in your blender.
Lovely, lovely.
That would be really lovely. And you've got that tanginess and the saltiness with the salsa verde.
Julie Ray, it is in the bag. Fantastic. Catch you next time on The Big Fish.
Enjoy your kingfish.
On ABC Radio, this is The Big Fish.
You'll hear the lap of the water, the cry of the seagulls, the scream of the reel, the shouts of delight from the people on board, because Craig McGill has been knocking the kingfish for six on Sydney Harbour. He's beating them off with a stick.
And the squirt of the squid.
Squirt of the squid. I forgot the squirt of the squid. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Yeah, well, that's a really important part of your plan, as we know, catching the fresh squid to get the kingfish, isn't it?
Yeah, I tell you what, it's been unbelievable lately. I reckon we probably got 25 yesterday.
Oh, that's some left for a dinner, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and all good size squid too. So, but this time of year is typical for that. We always get a lot of squid, late March all through April. So that's been nice and easy, actually. It's been good. And then, of course, that makes the rest of the day easy. Go over and get your kingies. And kingies have been fantastic. I'll tell you what else there's been a lot of lately, and particularly in Middle Harbour, and this is just a bit of a warning for anybody who's, sort of swimming or water skiing or anything up there at the moment, crawling with sharks up there.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Big bull sharks. We hooked a real big one, and I mentioned it to one of the other guides, and he said, yeah, the same thing had happened to him. We're talking big sharks, 200, 300, 400 kilo. And then a lot of the kingies we're pulling in up there now have got rake marks in them as well, where the sharks have been, obviously trying to grab at them. It's definitely be keeping out of the water up there at the moment.
And gee whiz, they scare the devil out of me. I mean, they are just such massive creatures, and they don't mind having a bit of a bite of anything in particular, do they? If it's a person, if it's a horse, if it's a wallaby that happened to fall in, they'll eat it. That's their job. So watch out for the men in the grey suits up Middle Harbour by the sound of it. And wow, big ones too.
Yeah, real big ones. We hooked one on Seaforth Bluff that towed us pretty much half a kilometre across the river and up into Sailor's Bay. Real big fish.
You got a bit of a look at it?
Yeah, we had it up alongside a couple of times. We were never going to get it in the boat, never even thought about it, and then it eventually bit us off. But massive sharks. I haven't really seen them that thick up there before, to be honest.
That gives me the willies. Your boat isn't very big.
No.
What about all those people sailing the little lasers and sailboards and things on? You'd get back on board pretty quickly when you tipped over, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely, and especially the water skiers. And, you still see people...
That's just trolling for bull sharks, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy, that does give me the willies. Amazing. Well, it's a sign of a health. We've got to live with it. It's a sign of a healthy ecosystem, isn't it?
No, well, that's it. I mean, everybody wants the big fish back and the clean water and all the rest of it. Well, with that comes sharks, doesn't it?
Just yeah, exactly right. And if one of the 5 million of us who live around Sydney get eaten, well, that's the price we have to pay.
Yep, that's the way it is. I tell you what else came into the harbour during the week too, which was pretty rare and pretty amazing, was some good-sized long-tail tuna, northern bluefin. Yeah, there was one caught up off Seaforth Bluff, right up in Middle Harbour, and then the boys who hooked that, apparently they were working the surface, and they chased them right out down through Middle Harbour under the spit and out into the harbour, and then caught another one over near Dobroyd Headland. But they were good fish, 20 kilo.
Wow, and they only live in schools, so that if you find the school, you'll get the fish.
That's right, and I have seen them once or twice before down here, but it's a pretty rare event. They generally sort of tend to stop, around about that sort of Foster, Port Stephens area, and you don't see them too much further south than that. But every now and then they sneak down.
Yeah, very very prolific around Fraser Island and further north, right up into the.
Yeah.
The Torres Strait, really, but the long-tailed tuna are a northern species for sure.
They are, and when we do get them down here, they tend to be the big ones, 20 kilos plus, where when you get up north into those tropical waters, they're sort of all those 6-8 kilo jobs.
Wow, they'd stretch your arms, wouldn't they? They're great fish.
Absolutely. I remember years ago, probably going back 30 years, I caught one spinning a lure off the beach at Foster. They burst up there, and just on a half by quarter lure, and that ended up taking me probably half an hour off the beach to land it. And that was about 40 pounds. Good fish, but pretty rare. But keep your eye open for them; you'll see them working on the top if they're around.
Sydney Harbour's on fire. What about those metre long kingfish that you hunt with great passion?
Bit quiet over the last week or so since we had that rain. But they will come back. I'd predict probably one more good run of them before the end of the season, and then they'll move into the upper reaches. So we get those spots where they sit at winter up off the Bluff and up off Goat Island. But I think we'll get one more summer run of them. But at the moment, lots of fish sort of in the 65 to 80 centimetre range. It's stacks of them. Everywhere you go, they're just crawling with them.
Nothing wrong with those.
No, absolutely. A good fish. And the other thing too, lots of tailor, lots of big tailor starting to move into the deeper spots, and some good-sized flatty starting to show up too now.
Sounds great, Craig. I know you're out there and I can hear the water lapping on the hull, and I'm sure you've got a keen crew on board who are ready to tangle with all those denizens of the deep. So yep. Tight lines, mate.
Thanks, mate. Talk to you soon.
On ABC Radio, this is The Big Fish.